Chapter 16. Elysian Fields. Minka fired as the first warpound appeared. It was a misshapen thing with a bunched mane of raging fire, human eyes, and a snout thick with curved fangs. The autopistol slug hit it in the chest and did nothing to slow it. She fired again with the same lack of effect, and now she fired a third time and missed. A second, third, and fourth hound appeared on the heels of the first. Wrath cursed, drew his knife, and pushed Minka out of the way.
Kyria stands,
he roared, as the baying of hunters filled the air, and the first hound leapt for his throat.
Brother.
His pack brothers had hunted all across Kyria. They had brought their quarry to the ground and torn them apart, and they had gloried in the battle. He knew the warpborn would come for the humans. Their souls were demon-bit, like the light of a deep-sea creature that draws fishes near. As the warphound leapt in, Scarp Hedin sprang forward. It was fast, but he was faster. He caught it by the throat. The two of them tumbled to the ground, a rolling ball of fur and fire. He tore its throat out, was on his feet before the second threw itself at him and bowled him backwards, fangs crunching down on his power armor. He punched his fingers into its eye, digging deep into the matter inside its skull. It was a blow that would have killed anything mortal, but these were beasts of the Immaterium, and the warphound howled with pain and pleasure as the space wolf set one hand on its jaws and yanked, dislocating the jaws and ripping its head from its shoulders. In an instant, it was gone, its spirit howling frustration as it was banished for a moment from the physical realm. In a frenzied blur, he tore them apart. All there was killing. It was supreme. It was glorious.
Brother, it is time. We are leaving.
In a moment, Scarp Hedin shook his head, and his berserk fury left him. He found himself staring down at the ground where he had just thrown a warpound, and it had blinked out of existence as its hold on the corporeal realm failed. There was a shadow on the floor before him. He looked up and saw a swirling purple cloud of warp energy. Something was manifesting in the air above him. He drooled with anticipation as a red figure started to solidify within the cloud. A vast red monster, whip in one hand, great brass axe in the other. Minka was on her hands and knees, retching as the warp energy swirled about her. She felt the ground shudder. She looked up. A vast shape of red fire stood above her. She closed her eyes as it took a single step forward. Kyria trembled beneath its foot. Somehow she fired her auto-pistol, but the lead round was lost in the creature's unholy flesh. Minka scrabbled backwards. The monstrous thing lifted its great axe into the air. Minka called out to the God Emperor to witness her defiance. "In the name of the God Emperor of mankind!" she shouted. There was a flash of white light and the sound of singing. She put her hand up to shield her eyes as a white shape materialized in the air above her. The winged saint is sublime, transcendent. She has wings of feathers, a silver halo, the angry face of an angel. She hangs in the air above them all. It is impossible to look at her directly. It is not the only thing about her that defies logic. In truth, she is not here. She is in 10 places at once, fighting the enemies of mankind. She lifts a sword of flaming white, yet it is not the blade that kills, but the power of her truth. Her chin is high. Her face, uplifted, does not shine with the purple light of the sky, but with the golden light of a radiant sun, a bright Terran day, a throne of incandescent gold. If she speaks words, they are like the wind in the mountain forest, a roar of natural power. Minka tries to stand, but the light is like a mountain gale pushing her back. She hears a snarling voice and knows that it is the warpborn. Light flashes, or rather darkness flashes in the light, and then she hears a low moan. It is her own voice. It is like the voices of women in childbirth, a groan that is squeezed from inside them. It is a moan of pain, of creation, of exultation. Minka stands. For a moment, she is the saint. It is her voice speaking. in the name of the God Emperor of mankind. The white light had gone. Minka fell onto her hands and knees and coughed. There was blood on her face. She did not know if it was hers or not. Her right hand was scorched red, as if she had held a brand in it. She pushed herself to her feet.
Up!
Someone was shouting. Something grabbed her arm. She could barely see. Her eyes were dazzled still. She felt giddy, felt as she had in her dreams when she saw herself hanging over the city. She had faith.
Brother, it is time. We are leaving.
Scarp Heaton turned. There was the lander. He seemed to remember it, and then it all rushed back to him. The assault by Ottar the White, the mounds of the dead, the lander. The lander. Its ramps were closed. Its systems were active. He sprinted for the cabin, ran and caught the ladder and hauled himself up.
I am coming back now, he voxed,
as he slammed the cabin release hatch. A voice called out to him. It was not his brother's. He turned and saw two humans, a male and a female, looking up with faces drawn with terror and exhaustion.
Help us, the man said.
Scarp Heaton was repelled by the word. It was not a word he was used to. It spoke of weakness, of defeat. He responded with a growl and threw the cabin door open.
You cannot leave us, the man said. Our fight is not yet done. We have to take revenge.
Scarp Heaton paused. Revenge was a word he understood. There were many reasons not to help them. They were weak. They were human. They would slow him down. Despite that, he turned.
Can you fly? He demanded.
Rath nodded. Scarp Heaton approved. The space wolf reached down and held out a hand. He hauled them up one by one. The space marine turned to them and spoke. Minka stared up. The voice was deep and gravelly. She could not understand the words. He spoke again. This time she caught his guttural accent.
How do you know how to fly?
Rath nodded.
Cadian 101st Airborne, he said.
The space wolf laughed.
Fly then, he said. I hunt.
The space marine stalked inside and left the two Cadians in the cockpit. The pilot had been torn apart. The cabin was awash with clots of blood. There was no time to clean the mess. It was a scramble as they got the craft ready to fly. Rath winced as he slid into the pilot's seat.
Are you sure you can fly this? Minka asked.
Yes,
Rath said, though he didn't sound sure. Minka watched him work one-handed, pressing the activation studs. His face was pale. His breath seemed laboured. Even the light of his augmetic eye seemed dull. He forced a smile.
Of course. I was airborne once.
The engines came to life on the third try. Rath pulled a lever and found it was the wrong one. He tried each of the levers in front of him and seemed satisfied.
Right, he said. Here goes.
The engine roared as he brought them up to full strength. Then he put his hands to the controls and took a deep breath. The craft's nose lifted unsteadily. It hung 100 feet above the ground, its wings shuddering violently. Rath looked confused. He struggled to keep a level as the craft was buffeted by winds, then found the right lever and pushed the engine nozzles from lift to fly. It was a torturous flight. Minka clung on and prayed. Warp creatures flew at them, swatting themselves against the viewport. One of them was sucked into the engine, which rattled for a moment.
Thrawn,
Rath hissed, expecting the engine to rupture, but it coughed and spluttered, and then kicked back into flame. Cadia fell away behind them. Once they were out of immediate danger, the space wolf took over, ripping the captain's seat out of its mounting in order to make room for himself.
Where are we going?
Rath asked.
My brothers are waiting,
the space marine said. They did not ask any more questions. It was more than 2 hours' flight before the space wolf strike cruiser appeared before them. It was a grey slab of ceramite hanging in the void, the bloody light twinkling off the vast turrets of cannons and lance arrays. Minka barely dared to breathe as they flew into the shadow of the vast craft. There were dark openings along its side. It was to one of those that the Space Marine flew them. The yawning gap filled the viewport. Slaved guns tracked them as they flew into the shadowed tunnel. The Space Wolf brought the lander down with a thud that slammed Minka back against the wall. They were inside a brightly lit landing bay. The Space Wolf stood, kicked the door open and squeezed out, his power armor grating against the doorframe. He leaped the 20 feet down to the floor. Rath and Minka looked at each other. "I'll help you," she said. Minka helped Rath down. The Space Wolf was waiting for them.
"Come!"
he shouted, and waved them to the doorway as servo attendants moved out from the wall on tracked carriages and began to attend to the lander. Minka slipped down behind Rath. Scarp Hedin's footsteps pounded out as he crossed the floor. There were 5 more Space Marines in grey power armor standing in 2 files by the door. Rath needed a Medicare, but she didn't dare move. The scale of this ship was built for Adeptus Astartes, not human. Everything was too large. The Space Wolf called out to her,
"Come!"
And she took a step forward. As she helped Rath along, the waiting Space Marines suddenly lifted their fists and made the sign of the Aquila. Minka froze at the sudden movement. But Scarp Hedin spoke.
"Do not fear. They are saluting you."